Do you remember what it feels like to be lost? When you're a child and you get lost from your mom, there's a sense of panic and dread. The person that is most concerned for your care and safety is nowhere to be found, so you're left feeling unsafe and vulnerable. Children, at least on some level, are aware of their total dependence on others for their care and safety. Adults, when lost, tend not to give in to feelings of panic or dread, especially if lost as a group. Before the advent of cell phones and GPSs that track our every moment and location, were you ever in a car full of adults that got lost? Panic and fear take a back seat to accusation and blame, some said and some left unsaid. If you've been in this situation, either as the driver or a passenger, you'll remember that it is not a pretty picture. Everyone seems to have a suggestion for which turn was the wrong one, or which now remembered shortcut would have landed the group safely at exactly the right place and exactly the right time. Naturally, grumbling and muttering accompany the unhelpful afterthought navigations. In the story of God's people wandering in the wilderness, feeling lost and unconvinced that they are truly on the right path to the land flowing with milk and honey, they too begin to grumble and mutter. The word used in the King James translation describes the complaints of the wanderers as muttering. Muttering, however, sounds a little niced up description of what the people of God were actually doing. They were complaining. They complained over and over and over again. First, the water tastes bad. Then there's no water. Then no food. And then they're tired of the same old food. They want something different. And now, finally, it's the water and the food. Before the people complained to Moses, they said, "Moses, you're tight with God. You've got God's ear. Go talk to him. Tell him we've got a problem." And Moses would go and talk to God, and God, who is full of compassion and abounding in steadfast love, would provide whatever Moses asked. This time, this final time of complaint, the people didn't just complain to Moses, they complained about Moses and about God. And apparently, that was stepping over a line. "We want to go back to Egypt," they said. "We don't like it here in the wilderness. We don't want to be free after all. Living under the rule of Pharaoh wasn't so bad now that we think about it. At least we had food, we had homes. Working as slaves in the heat day and night, night and day, at least that was predictable. The wilderness is not predictable. We don't know where we're going, and we have no control. We have to rely fully on God, and sometimes God seems far away and distant." Have you ever felt like these wandering Israelites? The people that God led to freedom out of captivity, who are now wishing that they were once again captives. Have you ever forgotten that God led you to freedom? Is freedom sometimes too scary and trusting too hard? One minister said that in every church he had ever served, there was a "Let's go back to Egypt" committee that never wanted to go forward, but only wanted to go back. I think there's something to that. Moving forward is scary. The unknown brings out the worst in folks. It did when Moses was leading the people to the land of promise, and it still does today. The people of God spoke against God and against Moses. They complained bitterly. They said, it would be better to be dead than be in this wilderness. They complained about the water. They said there was no food, but in the next breath confessed that they just didn't like the wilderness menu. They forgot who they were. And they forgot the promise that God had made with them, that he would be their God and they would be God's people. God remained faithful and was their God. But the people waffled and wavered and forgot. The next thing that happened was fiery serpents or poisonous snakes. People were bitten by the snakes and they died. This seemed like it was pretty much enough to make the people remember who they should trust and who they should rely on. They went back to Moses, realizing the error of their ways. They said, hey, Moses, help us. The people are dying and we're afraid. Talk to God. You still have God's ear. Ask God to save us again. So Moses talked to God, and once again, God saved the people. Look up, he said. Look up at the serpent on the pole. Look beyond the serpent on the pole. Look up. Look to God. Remember who brought you into freedom. Remember that God is trustworthy and true, full of compassion and abounding in steadfast love. It seems that this was sufficient at this time for God's people. When the snakes bit them, when scary things happened, they looked up at the serpent and beyond and remembered to trust God, and they were saved. For now, it seems that the people knew that it wasn't the serpent on the pole, but God who was affecting the return to health. For now, the serpent was not the object of worship, not an idol. It seems at some point this changed. Later down the road, King Hezekiah had to get rid of that serpent on the pole because the people of later generations forgot. They forgot who they were and who was trustworthy and true, and they worshipped the snake instead of God. And this story seems to be on perpetual rewind. From the time of the original wanderers until today, God has proven to be faithful over and over again. God has reached out to his people in need, in times of remembering and in times of forgetting. The serpent, given for the people to look up to and be healed, has long-lasting significance. Jesus referred to this serpent being raised up as a precursor for his own being raised up on the cross to once again save the people of God. Once again, God's people were wandering in the wilderness. They had forgotten what it meant to trust in God and let God be the one who led the way for their lives. The leaders of the temple had gotten in the way. The focus was on the law, not on the lawgiver. And once again, God reached out, this time in the form of one of his people, a man named Jesus. His life was lived and he died to show God's people the way out of the wilderness, a way to follow, a way to emulate, to bring God's people back to God. Once again, we may feel like we are wandering in the wilderness. Once again, we may feel like we have lost our way. Freedom may feel too risky. The way may seem too unpredictable. There are fears and scary objects along the way. The footing may seem uncertain, and we may not know what lies ahead. Will we face fiery serpents or poisonous snakes or worse? Will we come face to face with our deepest, darkest fear? If our deepest, darkest fear is that we have been left alone in the wilderness, we will not come face to face with our deepest, darkest fear. If we remember who is leading the way, if we remember the one who is trustworthy and true, full of compassion and abounding in steadfast love, then the way will be sure and we will not falter. Let's not go back to Egypt. Amen.